This is the Techno Buffet Podcast, episode number 665, recorded Thursday, February 15th, 2024. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Techno Buffet Podcast on a Thursday for some reason.
Yes. It's not for some reason. It's for a specific reason.
What was the specific reason?
Yesterday was Valentine's Day.
I've heard of it. It's one of those holidays where people do stuff and things.
Yes, it's one of those holidays where if I do anything that does not involve my wife, then I'm probably going to be in trouble for a couple months. So, yep.
So we're here today.
We are here today.
And I do not know what will be happening in the next 2 weeks, or actually two, possibly 3 weeks, because I am being deployed.
Deployed to the Middle East?
No, I refuse that request.
So where are you going?
I'm back to Bulgaria.
Ooh, that sounds chocolatey.
They did say that I think it's my fault when I said I don't feel comfortable going to Cairo. I'll go somewhere else if you ask me to. Maybe I shouldn't have said it that way. But so I'll be spending the they authorized me to go, and they told me they were thinking about this the week before, but they finally finalized it this week, so I had to buy a one-way ticket to Bulgaria.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the return ticket. Hopefully it'll come before I want to come back.
Sounds not encouraging.
Hopefully it'll come before I, well, you know, paperwork. Because of the last minute, they authorized me to buy the ticket and submit for reimbursement, but there's only so much money I can put on my credit card for the company. The ticket coming back, I'm waiting for them to take care of for me. So I'm going to leave this weekend, and I'm going to be doing some work there for the next 2 weeks, and then I'm going to swing back the long way.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to make a stop at the home office to be debriefed. Should be interesting, but it means I have a lot to take care of, and it also means that when it's usually time for us to record the show, I probably should be in bed.
Okay.
Well, there is a 7-hour time difference.
Well, I'm sure we'll think of something.
Yeah. Well, remember, we're recording right now at a little before 5 o'clock. So I'm sure, you know, if you're available earlier in the day, I'm sure we could figure something out.
We might even be able to do something in the morning, my time.
Yeah. Remember, in the morning, your time might be the afternoon, my time, but I still do have to go to an office all day.
Well,
we'll find
it. So
I'm still,
if you're 7 hours ahead, then 5 o'clock your time is 10 o'clock my time.
How does that work?
5 o'clock in the afternoon is 1700. 1700 minus 7 is 10.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misheard you. I thought you said 10 in the evening. I thought you got it backwards. Sorry. Anyway, but again, I think it's doable. So hopefully you won't miss me too much, and I'll tell you all about my exciting experience. Because if you remember these, anybody who's been listening long enough, for 4 years ago when I did this trip, I ended up at a hotel that had internet the speed of dial-up.
Which is not conducive to voice communication.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you remember, Jerry, that I had a lot of interesting experiences with that hotel.
Are you going back to the same hotel?
No.
Well, congratulations.
The hotel I'm going to was constructed 6 months ago. So it is a...
Ooh!
They have told me... So I reached out to them. This is one of those, they call them apart hotels. So it's where it's sort of, they didn't have that sort of thing 4 years ago because I looked for it. If I'm staying somewhere for a couple of weeks, I want to have like a more apartment-like hotel room. So
the kitchen and stuff.
Who wants to eat out for 2 weeks straight? I'm not
talking. No, I mean, but that's what, when you say kitchen or apartment, like I imagine has a kitchen.
Yes. And a laundry machine.
Yes.
I object to having hotels clean my laundry. The reason being that the pricing on that is just, it's not my money because my employer will reimburse me for expenses like that. But I am personally offended on their behalf about what they think they should charge for laundry. Even in Bulgaria, where obviously the prices are less, which is why my employer has an office there. But they told me that they had very good internet, assuming I believe them on that, because the other hotel told me they had very good internet. So I don't know if I can necessarily trust that.
Well, cool. I mean, good luck. I mean, it's encouraging.
Yeah, I went. I upgraded from the studio room to the deluxe one bedroom room. It cost me $24.
More or in total?
In total. Not a day.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, there's a reason why, as I said, they decided to have this office in Bulgaria. But they said that they confirmed that I have a desk, which I did not have at the previous place because they apparently said nobody ever tried to sit in the room. And they say that it has the highest speed internet we have in Bulgaria, provided by A1, the biggest and leading provider. So I'm saying this just because if next week I'm complaining about the A1, the biggest and leadest provider, and the fastest internet speeds, you know, the famous last words philosophy. Anyway, so hopefully this will work out. A few other things since last week. All of my RAT GDOs are now installed.
Are they working?
Yes, which means while I'm away, I'll be able to monitor the status of my garage door, which will hopefully not open during the entirety of... Well, if it opens, now I feel better because I could close it.
That's kind of funny.
Well, I could tell you that I came in through the garage door about 2 hours ago. So according to the logs, it's my garage door was opened 2 hours ago. Then it detected an obstruction approximately 20 seconds later when I walked through it. Then it closed approximately 4 seconds after that.
So the obstruction was you?
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of cool that it gives you that kind of detail.
Well, you know that garage door openers have obstruction sensors at the door on either side.
Yeah. So, but seeing that actually surfaced in...
That's why I like the RAT GDO board. I never got that data before when I tried to use the MyQ stuff, which is no longer really an option anyway. But
can you turn on the light?
Yes, I can, actually.
Like, my thing, what's the thing? My garage door openers, they do this really odd thing where if you have the door open for a while and the light turns off and you go through, it doesn't turn the light back on when you, you know, trigger the obstruction thing. But my last garage door openers did. And I kind of miss it.
Well, mine doesn't do it for the obstruction sensors. It does it for the motion sensor. But the motion sensor is, on this one, it's in the button by the inside door, not by the... Yep. So that's the reason why. I would have to walk all the way to the inside door before I passed the motion sensor and triggered it on. But now, what I could do in theory, if I wanted to create the configuration you wanted, I can just do that by setting an automation and home assistant that says if the obstruction sensor detects something, the light should go on.
I like it.
Yeah. I also have some other things. So, you know, there's, of course, the button There's the motion sensor itself, the obstruction sensor. It can lock the remotes so that I can't remotely open it. So, you know, the usual. So, a nice piece of hardware. I am pleased with my purchase. My compliments to, what's his name, Paul, is the guy who's doing it. So, yay, Paul.
Yay, Paul.
He doesn't live that far from here. The return address, assuming he lives somewhere near where he mailed it from, the return address on the envelope was here on Long Island. I'm not going to go track him down, but that would have been it would be an interesting conversation. Again, if he didn't think I was a stalker. Anyway, moving along. So, few things have happened in the last week. Apparently, somebody at Google has just announced when Android 15 will release, but apparently not somebody who was supposed to do that. The first developer preview is apparently scheduled for sometime this week.
Oh, we're on to the news. I was unprepared.
You didn't read? You had an
extra. I did. I thought we were still talking about garage door openers.
Do you have any other thoughts on garage door openers? I'm happy to talk more about
that. I'm considering replacing my garage door opener home automation with the Rat GDOs.
Well, what type of garage door do you have?
What brand? I would need the dry contact version. Yeah. I don't have security. I don't think I have security wiring.
What brand of garage door is it?
Oh, friggin'. Whatever garage door or precision garage door uses. I looked it up at one time. It's fairly low end and generic.
Okay. So, if you're wondering what I have, that's mine is not new. It's a 20-year-old Craftsman, and Craftsman was the Sears rebranded version of LiftMaster or Chamberlain.
Right.
So it doesn't support security 2.0, which is the latest standard they use. It supports security 1.0. The Rat GDO is able to do that with essentially with an adapter, which I already had. So, but you should be able to use the dry contacts. The only thing is, then you of course also need to wire in sensors, the read sensors, in order to get data back.
Yeah, it looks like it would take some work to do. Like what I have right now is. It's basically a contact sensor on the door.
Do you like
to tell me when it's closed, and then a momentary relay to trigger the, you know, the open or close button?
Well, the only question I'd ask is, do you really like your garage door opener?
No, but nor do I want to spend, you know, a few hundred dollars replacing it.
Good point. But if you don't want to integrate with, one of the ones that has the security, 1 or 2.0, you could always go for some of the alternatives. There are a few that do dry contact that are alternatives to this.
No, there's apparently the Rat GDOs will work with dry contacts.
No, it will. I'm saying there are other options to explore, but I don't think that that's a bad option. I was trying to figure out if I could use the dry contacts for some sort of alternate sensor in my garage.
Right.
Because, again, they're dry contacts. Why wouldn't I be able to add something to it? I just couldn't figure out what I would add. So if anybody has any ideas about what would be useful to add to the dry contact sensors that happen to be on the thing anyway.
About a pressure sensor where you park. So that when you, put a pressure sensor where your front wheel would go when you're inside. And then so that when you pull in, the door closes.
Might work. I'll give it some thought. But I'm just enjoying the functionality that I really like about knowing the status of my garage door is knowing if it's been left open for an extended period of time. Also, it's nice and warm in there. Those hinges really did the trick.
Cool.
Need some painting, though. If only that guy would actually return my phone calls. I don't understand why I keep having to beg the contractor to actually work for me. Anyway, it's hard to find good people. It's also hard to find the good person in question.
Huh.
No, it's really easy to find a bad contractor. They always have free time because nobody wants to hire them.
Yep.
But the good ones, people want to hire them. So it's, oh, well, I'll get to you next week. No, busy this week. Okay, next week. I'll be, this week, the gentleman said, well, I'll be there on Monday. Oh, no, I can't be there on Monday. I need to go get the big ladder. I'm in New Jersey getting the big ladder. I'll be back. I'll come on Tuesday. There's a snowstorm on Tuesday. Oh, it's not going to be a big snowstorm. Tuesday passes. No one cares. That was all this week. So I'm still trying to find him to find out why he didn't show up in the middle of a snowstorm to fix a leak outside. Something I didn't think he was going to do anyway, but he insisted that he would do it in a snowstorm. Anyway, me being annoyed about that aside, I had said that apparently Android 15's first developer preview is coming this week.
Cool. And what are they going to call it? Jelly Bean?
I don't know. Remember, last was Upside Down Cake, which means we need a V.
Which probably means vanilla.
Maybe they'll come up with something more creative than vanilla. Although I don't dislike vanilla. I know people use vanilla as a negative term.
Do they? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess. Kind of plain.
Yeah, but vanilla is a flavor. It's... Admittedly, I also like chocolate, but nothing wrong with vanilla. You know what I suddenly want?
Ice cream?
No, the frozen yogurt they used to sell at Costco. That's both... that's half, you know, the half and half, where it's half chocolate and half vanilla. I haven't had that in years. Anyway, my random fantasies of visiting the Costco food court aside. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, Prime Video, which we knew was going to charge people if they didn't want to have ads in the thing they previously didn't have ads in.
Right.
But apparently,
which I saw recently.
Yeah, but apparently they didn't mention that you also can no longer use Dolby Vision or Atmos while streaming.
Hmm. Seems odd.
Well, sort of the thing, there's already a class action suit about this. And it's on two counts, one being that they did not advertise that they were going to be, they said that there would be ads. They didn't say that there would be any other services lost. So one would think that that would, again, be something they should at least apologize for. But the other part is people have pointed out that this is essentially for anybody who prepaid for a year, that the ad shouldn't have started until your year was up. That essentially that is an effective contractual issue because you paid for a year of a service and they are no longer offering you the same service.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not joining. Technically, that's true. I'm not joining the class action suit. I don't care enough to join the class action suit. Do you watch commercials, Jerry?
Never.
Sometimes I do, and it's usually when I've realized that the remote is too far away from where I'm sitting and feeling too lazy to go get it. And remember,
I don't even watch commercials during the Super Bowl.
And remember, I have a DVR, so it's just a matter of avoiding the commercials entirely. Yep. But we'll see how that works when I'm away. Because as you may recall, I've watched television from my home DVR, the one that I built, the Myth TV one, from various places. I'm not sure if the bandwidth will be sufficient there for me to watch it from Bulgaria, but it would amuse me if it was.
I suspect it will be.
Well, no. The thing is, the bandwidth in Bulgaria is supposedly very good. It was just one hotel that it was not.
Right.
So my assumption is it will be, you know, at least as good as an American hotel, which is not always very good. And that's mostly because it's split amongst how many people who are staying in the hotel. this particular place only has 14 guests at a time, or 14 rooms. So that shouldn't be too much. I'm assuming everybody there isn't simultaneously trying to use all the bandwidth. But we'll see. Anyway, it's just that Amazon was not upfront about giving away something. They told everybody about the ads. Didn't tell anybody about everything else. So we'll see what happens. There's this nice article from Ars Technica. This is from Kevin Purdy. Are you familiar with Kevin Purdy?
I'm not.
Okay, he's written on a bunch of stuff over the years, so I don't know the name of every single reporter who does tech beats, but he's popped up in a lot of interesting things over the years. And, okay. Yeah. Including, let's see, he worked at Lifehacker, Wirecutter, iFixit. So apparently he just goes from like tech online reporting to tech online reporting. So he wrote an article, "I was wrong to ignore Zigbee and Z-Wave. They're the best part of my smart home."
Interesting.
So I thought it was sort of an interesting article. And obviously that's an opinion. I'm not saying sure. I dislike either of those protocols. I use them, but it's not a reporting piece so much as an opinion piece. So the other, just to quote him, "When I started at Ars in the summer of 2022, the next generation of home standards were on the way, Matter and Thread. I thought it would be a good time to look to the future, to leave behind the old standards. Instead, Matter and Thread are a big mess. And I have ignored the good things that already existed, Zigbee and Z-Wave."
There's a lot.
So I will sort of agree with that. Not that Matter and Thread might not be better in the future.
But they're not now.
Yes. So I'll experiment with Matter and Thread at some point. But right now I have Zigbee, I have Z-Wave, and they're working.
They work.
And they're fairly reliable. And I remember when I had that Nortec dual Zigbee Z-Wave stick.
Yeah.
That did not work so well.
Mine didn't either.
And once I got rid of it and had two separate radios, well, actually, I think that had two separate radios, two separate sticks, that I could put some separation distance between, I think things worked better. And the same thing actually happened. The Home Assistant Sky Connect, which is their Zigbee plus Thread radio.
Yeah.
They've said that they're no longer going to officially support the multi-protocol version, which is essentially the same thing.
Yeah, I've got one, and I don't use it because it just doesn't work very well for me.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is even they've realized that you're probably better off having a separate Zigbee device and not trying to run it all on the same thing. And I have a separate Zigbee device, so maybe sometime I will try to get a Thread device going, but... They also said that if you're not using the full version of Home Assistant and you're installing it yourself, it might be too annoying to maintain it if you're trying to do Thread. But yeah, we'll see. I think it's because of the IPv6 routing. That's always been difficult.
Wow. Okay, cool.
But again, I would suggest that you read the Kevin Purdy article from Ars Technica. Where he really goes into a lot of detail about why he decided that everything works can work together. So essentially, like somebody using Home Assistant, you don't have to care what protocol it is because you can have your Z-Wave device and your Zigbee device both go into the same Home Assistant system and interact with each other despite the fact they're on completely different protocols and are not officially interoperable.
Well, that's because you got... And they're not actually interoperable. They're both interoperable with the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're not interoperable themselves. They're interoperable because somebody has bridged them.
Which is cool.
Yeah. As somebody I know says, and unfortunately this week ended up in TechCrunch, because he says that, bridge all the things. I didn't put that story into the show notes because that happened after, that happened yesterday evening. And obviously we were going to record it yesterday evening, and I usually put a stop on things the night before.
Sure.
But apparently, this individual who I happen to know, created some software that bridges Blue Sky and Mastodon.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there are some people unhappy about that.
Why?
Again, because if you're there were people on Mastodon who felt that they didn't necessarily agree to be to syndicate to a service that they didn't approve of. Problem is, that's what Mastodon is. It's a federated service.
Yeah,
anybody can set up a, you know, a server and federate to any other Mastodon server unless that server has shut down federation. So being as any of the servers that would interoperate using the federation that for ActivityPub, which just converts into the Blue Sky AT protocol, which is what the person I know did, and as I said, now ended up in TechCrunch arguing about it. That's essentially, it just means that the open protocol that you signed up for a service knowing existed and knowing could interop with other sites was bridged to another protocol for a site that you don't like. But that was always a possibility.
Yep.
It's just sort of the... I understand why people are saying I don't want... Also, that essentially just means you could follow people on Mastodon from Blue Sky and vice versa. Doesn't really change very much, but anyway. He's trying to solve the problem and make people less angry.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, well, that's sort of the problem. You build a cool thing and everybody starts saying, oh, you shouldn't have built that cool thing. Why don't we block it? Which has been said, by the way. Anyway, moving along. Your Galaxy Watch is now FDA approved to detect sleep apnea.
Which is kind of cool.
Do you still have a Galaxy Watch somewhere? I know you tried one at Walmart.
Somewhere. No, I think I gave it away.
Okay, because I'd be curious about this one. Because I took one of those home, you know, sleep tests. I'm wondering how the watch compares to one of those. Especially since it's FDA approved.
Yep.
Because apparently it is the first smartwatch to ever get FDA sleep apnea approval.
That's kind of impressive.
We'll see. What else do we have here? Oh, yes. Android could soon work better with smart locks. So apparently Android is going to work with the standard for NFC-based digital keys.
Right.
Which are similar to the idea that they used for payment technology over NFC. So the standard Aliro apparently could be supported in Google Play services and the Android open source project.
Aliro, you say?
Aliro, the open standard for smart locks and digital keys.
Interesting.
And I don't know how I missed this. That they're not that Google might be supporting it, but I think I missed that there was a digital standard for this.
Yeah,
apparently this happened back in November that. Apple, Google, and Samsung teamed up with a bunch of lock and chip makers to build an open standard for smart locks and digital keys. Apparently, the word Aliro is Esperanto for access.
Interesting.
You know something was named by a bunch of really nerdy people when they named it in Esperanto.
Yeah. I don't know. That to me seems like what happens when you name things by committee.
I don't really care if it works. Who cares? As long as whatever they call it isn't offensive, I don't care. But apparently, again, the idea would be that any authorized smartphone or smartwatch could open up a smart lock. And again, there needs to be a standard for that. That is secure. So we'll see what happens.
Cool.
Like many things in this world. Anyway, let's see what else we have here. Oh, yes. Android Auto has gained something called My Radar. So since Android Auto now allows for weather maps, this is an app that MyRadar has developed that delivers weather information as drivers progress along a route with 15-minute updates.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So if weather hazards are predicted, it can essentially tell you that there is bad weather ahead. I have not tried this because I haven't been driving in bad weather. On Tuesday, there was a snowstorm here in New York. And I usually go to the office on Tuesday. So do you know how I solved this problem?
How'd you solve the problem?
I went to the office today instead.
Huh. That's funny. I thought it was funny.
I'm just saying, it's sometimes there's a simple solution. You know, I don't think that me being there or me being there on Tuesday or me being there on Thursday made a difference, because most of the time I'm questioning why I'm there at all. But they want to see me, so they saw me today instead of they saw me 2 days ago. And the they being, I don't know who, because my boss isn't even in the same country. So I never quite got the point, but I made an appearance. I saw other human beings. And those other human beings saw me. I told them that I was leaving the country. I left a note on my desk. Gone to Bulgaria. Email me if you need me.
That's kind of funny.
Why?
I think it's funny. It's like gone to the bathroom, be right back, but gone to another country.
Well, the other unfortunate thing is that the big boss, like the division boss, is making a visit to the New York office while I'm away.
Are you sad?
Not really, but this is the second time that I have been sent to Europe while the boss, based in Europe, is coming to the United States. So I figured I should have some reason why, you know, if in case somebody's saying, where's the guy who sits at that desk? I figured the sign should be there.
Gotcha.
But jokes aside about that, sometimes the low-tech solution works. Sometimes the sign works. You don't need an email autoresponder. Apparently, Google Maps is at its 19th anniversary. So that would have been February 8th.
Wow.
Yeah. And again, it was an acquisition. But I remember when it started, and it has gotten better over the years. And it is something I use on a regular basis. Just today, I was showing people maps of of the distance between where I will be staying and where I'll be working next week.
Is it like 12 feet?
5 kilometers.
It's not bad.
Yeah, and then it's it's a 0.6 kilometer, I think, walk to the nearest supermarket. Which is not bad. So I'm in a good location.
With good internet, one hopes.
I hope so. I don't need that much. You know, give me, you know, like a laptop to get some stuff done. A television where I can hook in, you know, my little media streamer to watch some TV at night after I'm finished with my work. A washing machine where hopefully I can clean my clothes so that I don't have
to. You're not dirty?
Well, I was going to go with so I don't have to find somebody else to clean them for me. And a burner where I can warm up some food. I'm a man of simple pleasures. Somebody said that they were high maintenance. I think I'm like medium maintenance. Or somewhere between low and medium. But moving along past Google Maps. And as you can see, what I'm working on is on my mind. So I'm going to try to not tell as much about it. So, WhatsApp has explained how it will work with other messaging apps under the EU's Digital Markets Act.
Ooh.
So WhatsApp has to make its platform interoperable, and apparently they're going to be adding in support for third-party messages, but those third-party messages will, of course, be separate from the first-party messages, which is acceptable.
Interesting.
Yes. One of the core requirements is for this to be opt-in. They can choose whether or not they want to exchange messages with third parties. They will show up in a separate part of the app than the main inbox. And I'm curious to see what it will do. So they want integrated apps to use the Signal protocol. And they will connect to WhatsApp servers to receive messages and to send. They will encrypt content using the Signal protocol and package it using XML. Does this mean I could make a I can make my website notify me on, and I'm referring to a thing like Home Assistant or any other type of web app, not specifically just a website, like my test site is what I'm referring to. Because I realized it sounds like I'm going to just build a website where people can send me WhatsApp messages, which would be sort of weird. But I'm thinking of like Home Assistant notifications, which you can get in various chat apps now, or similar from another thing. Or how would you feel if, let's say, your house messaged you on WhatsApp?
I think that would be super cool.
Unless you have to go through an onerous registration process to be able to interoperate with WhatsApp, that sounds like something that would be useful that I would do.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Or you could send messages to your house.
Well, you can do that, I think, with Telegram, where you can have two-way, where you can actually send a message to your house, and then it can read the message as an instruction. I know I read the way to do that, but I never really spent much time with it. Someone at 9to5 Google said that they wished Android Auto's dashboard better supported multiple split-screen apps. And I know I have problems with that thing. I like the fact that they allow you to see part of a second app in the corner, but I think they could do it better. Also, Walter Shawley has passed away.
Who?
The sovereign of slide rules.
I don't know what that is.
So Walter Shawley was essentially had this side business where he essentially was a supplier and refurbisher of slide rules. So he found his old slide rule and then created a website dedicated to slide rules. And then he began spending, all day researching, buying, fixing, and reselling old slide rules. So he became the king of slide rules. I just like some of the things that the bio of him say. Like, a 1999 New York Times profile quoted him as describing slide rules as the techno guy's version of a broadsword. In 50 years, the computer you are using to view this web page will be landfill, but your trusty slide rule will just be nicely broken in.
Nice and broken in.
When we used slide rules every day back in the 60s, we were able to send people to the moon. People who grew up with calculators have no number sense.
I can see where he's coming from. My daughter has, when she does, like, she can do algebra, but she has a hard time with, like, basic multiplication.
And again, that's because what we've emphasized teaching people conceptions of has changed over the years. When you were in school, did they let you use a calculator or did they forbid calculators?
It depends on the class.
I remember it wasn't until I got to the more advanced math classes and they had me get a TI-83.
Right.
That they let me use one. They would not let me use like a basic calculator for addition or subtraction. They made sure that all those things I had to learn before they let me get anywhere near the calculator. And I know I have that problem at my place of business. Because I do teach people how to use our systems, and we found that when they there's an automatic and a manual way to do something. So the automatic way is you tell the system to do something, it does everything for you, and then there's a way where you have to do all the steps yourself. There are plenty of systems like that where sometimes the thing that saves you time doesn't work. But we found that if we taught people the easy way to do it, where the system did everything for them, when it didn't work, which there's a bunch of scenarios when they had no idea what to do. So I would always teach them the long way first. And until they mastered the long way, I would not show them the short way.
And then when you show them the short way, they get upset?
No. I told them very honestly about it beforehand. I just told them I wasn't going to tell them what it was until they mastered the other way.
That's cool.
But some of the other people who've taught people things always teach them the short way. And we found that those people get completely lost when it doesn't work. They don't know what to do. So those things happen. But it's the same thing. If you aren't given enough time to master a skill, because you're relying on something else. When you need it, it won't be there.
I agree.
One other thing with that article, apparently the individual passed away, Mr. Shawley. Apparently, in the early 2000s, he was earning $125,000 a year fixing and reselling slide rules, and it put his kids through college and one through law school.
Again, that's cool.
Yeah, the whole story, if you read it, and it's in the show notes, is just interesting. Even more interesting, they quote about him, an individual who works at the University of California, San Diego, who apparently has taught classes in the history, theory, and practice of slide rules, including a survey of the greatest slide rules ever made.
That's kind of crazy.
I'm just wondering exactly how many sessions the greatest slide rules ever made, if not necessarily the whole course, but I'd like, you know, like a mini presentation about the greatest slide rules ever made. I'm just curious. That sounds like something I'd be interested in, not for like hours, but for like an hour.
Yeah, it'd be a good way to kill an hour.
Yeah. Speaking of killing, that's me trying that segue thing.
Good segue.
Sony is apparently killing their entire purchased library. So Funimation, which is a streaming service that specializes in anime, apparently announced that the digital libraries held by subscribers on the platform will become inaccessible after April 2nd. This is because its parent company, Sony, has merged Funimation with the recently acquired Crunchyroll. So essentially, these people have digital copies stored in the service of items that they apparently purchased. And now they don't have those digital copies.
That's a true statement.
So anybody who has the digital copy has kept the, you know, the DVD or the Blu-ray in a drawer and no longer has a DVD player may be in trouble. But again, this is the problem with digital. There's actually, if you buy something, even though they use the term buy, remember?
Yep.
In reality, they could take it away at any time and you have no recourse. Because you didn't actually buy it, you bought a license that says they can take your license away at any time for any reason, and you have nothing to go on.
Well, it's if you don't own the key, you don't own the stuff.
Yeah, which is why I still buy physical media. And a lot of what I buy things on sale that I would enjoy. So that's why I have a lot of old classic stuff. So sitting on my desk right now, it's the first time I've tried, I decided to switch my ripping from H.264 to see how my various hardware can handle H.265. When I originally decided not to go with 265, it was because too many pieces of hardware couldn't decode it as easily.
Right.
But I think I've gotten to the point where I don't care anymore, where most of my stuff I've upgraded. So I may have to go back and re-encode stuff again. I actually found something that you might find interesting, and I haven't tried it yet, but I was reading about it. Tadarr, T-D-A-R-R, which apparently let me just get the description of this thing. It apparently will recode files that you put into a directory on a server.
I think I've tried it.
There are a few of them. I don't know how. I haven't tried this one, but I thought it was worth a try.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to it yet. I've been busy. But there are a few other competitive ones, but I'm thinking of trying something like this on my server to see about retranscoding these files into 265 to save space.
I think I tried one like that similarly, and it messed up my entire library.
There's a reason why I'm going to be very cautious about this.
Yes, be cautious.
I'm not going to set the setting that deletes the old copy until I'm satisfied.
I made the mistake of testing. I had it transcode a file, then I would test it. But I was testing it on my computer instead of my actual, the Rokus. Well, it played fine on my computer, but would not play on the Rokus. So, oopsie.
Well, I've switched all the Rokus to Google devices, so we'll see. But either way, The nice thing is I'm playing everything through Plex, and Plex has some limited real-time transcoding capability if I really needed it.
So I don't know what the problem was, but it.
Yeah. As I was
using Plex, and it didn't work, man. I was unhappy.
No, I understand. I'm just saying, if it works on everything, then it's worth a shot. That's why I encoded some things just to test. So now that I have some of my files encoded, not using Tidar, but manually, then I'll see and make the decision, do I want to transcode everything? F-Droid apparently learned this trick that we talked about before, which is it can now install updates fully in the background.
Yay!
So that's the unattended updates API that we previously discussed. Although I have not gotten the update for this, because I do have a few things installed from F-Droid that are not available in the Play Store, including the thing that does geo-tracking on my phone, because Google just kept making the requirements to put it in the Play Store so onerous that the guy just gave up. You know how it is with their... I appreciate that they want to protect me and that they're making certain permissions, things where you have to explain why you need them. But I think a GPS tracking app, it's very clear why it needs the ability to track your location all the time.
Sure.
I think it's inherent in the name, and the Google approval system apparently had some trouble with that.
That's kind of funny.
Well, you've heard stories about their approval system.
Yes.
YouTube TV is now the United States' fourth biggest cable TV provider with 8 million subscriptions.
Yeah.
I've never tried them. I don't know. I think eventually everybody will end up with over-the-top cable, and there won't be any cable delivered over the actual wire. It'll all be over the top. What do you think?
I would agree. I don't think we'll have like set-top boxes in the connected to cable. It will be set-top boxes that are connected to the internet,
or
TVs that are connected to the internet.
Spectrum and Comcast and Fios are all offering now essentially boxes that are internet-based instead of going over the cable lines. So they work like cable boxes because they're essentially dedicated appliances. If I remember correctly, it's Spectrum and Comcast that are using a Xumo as the box. And I forgot what Fios is using. So eventually I'm going to have to give up my cable card. They're not going to support it forever. In fact, right now, if I actually wanted them to give me a new one, I don't know if I could even get them to deliver one. I think the day that the cable card I have dies is the day that I'm out of luck.
Yep.
Oh, well, might as well milk it for as long as I have it.
Then, I concur.
The cable companies have told the FCC early termination fees are good. And they've said that if early termination fees are bad, they will raise the monthly price.
Okay.
They also oppose partial month credits on those who want to cancel. So there are
That seems especially appropriate for now, because how many people started a subscription just to get the Super Bowl and now cancel it?
No, I actually am opposed to partial month credit in certain cases. Not in every case. But you should have been part of the service for a certain period of time before you get proration. To prevent somebody, you know, because there are costs hooking you up and disconnecting you. And I think the company has the right to sort of recoup some of those. But at least reasonably. But when it comes to the idea of termination fees, when you signed up, you have the choice of a month-to-month plan at one rate or a, you know, 1 or 2 year plan at a discount. So if you don't want that, then I don't see, this is one of the things where I don't understand where the FCC is coming from. Now, the problem is that they make the month-to-month plans not reasonable in cost compared to the discount.
Right.
But that's a different problem. And you know that I feel like the billing practices of cable companies need to be controlled, because as a consumer, I should be able to, before I sign up for something, have a full understanding of how much it's going to cost.
Sure.
And the cable companies are one of those industries where you can't go to their website and get a price list. And by the way, I understand that there are different taxes in different municipalities, which they'd have to factor in, but they could come up with an app for this. Put in your zip code and we'll tell you what it costs in that zip code. You shouldn't have to log in. You shouldn't have to do all of these things. You shouldn't have to get a quote that's going to be good for 5 minutes. Anyway. Moving along, apparently AT&T wants to shut down its landline phone service. Specifically in California. Now, that doesn't mean that they only want to shut down in California. They have asked specifically in California to do it. They are trying to shut it down everywhere. Most traditional copper telephone wiring telephone services would like to stop doing that.
Sure, I imagine.
But there are issues. For example, copper wires work during a power outage.
They do.
And a lot of companies that offer non-copper wiring telephone services do not offer battery service. Some of them do, to be fair, but a lot of them don't. So if you have a power outage, they're not supporting it. They don't have a battery backup. You can plug in your own if you want, but again, it's back to the company doesn't offer a service to ensure that your phone will stay on for at least a few hours in an emergency, which especially for anybody whose phone is their lifeline to the world, of which there still are a large amount of people who need that phone because they're in areas where, for example, they can't get cellular service, or where the cellular service is poor, or they have other, you know, medical devices that don't work well with certain technology. Anyway, there's no word as to whether or not California will let them abandon these lines. By the way, I have copper service in one place. That place that I go to upstate, that my family has a place in that I'm often at, has no cellular service in the neighborhood. The reception is horrible. And the power and internet goes down on a not irregular basis. So you would not believe what the people at Verizon want for a landline up there. It is highway robbery. But unless they can fix the other problems, it will remain highway robbery. And finally, I included the Bitwarden blogs. They have their inside open source releases of Bitwarden, which I thought was an interesting article, where they talk about their commitment to open source and exactly how they release their open source applications. I have silenced you, Jerry.
Yes.
Why is that? Open source with Bitwarden is your trigger?
No. I mean, I'm just glad to see Bitwarden doing good things because I kind of love them.
Well, again, you know, there was a long time when we both loved LastPass, and LastPass just did not, in the last few years, it did not, let's say, earn our love or our continued affection. And Bitwarden, again, has become the new romance in our password vault lives.
That's a very true statement.
And again, it has what I need. And I like the fact that if I decided I wanted to no longer, you know, pay them, and I'm paying them to support the overall effort, and the fact that they're doing the work for me, I could go and run my own server in the background and still use the same application. It's the sort of same thing I like about Nabucasa, the Home Assistant sponsor. Have you ever given them money, Jerry?
Never. Yeah, I give them money every month.
Okay, I have never given them money, and I keep thinking about it, because even though the services that they offer for the money are ones that I've done myself, and they show you how to do it, I feel like I should give them money, because they're, the other day I looked it up, and I referred to it as a small business, and then I looked at the page for where they have the list of their team. Have you seen how many people work for them now?
No.
Let's see. Seven? There's the founder of Home Assistant, Paulus. Then you have the founder of Home Assistant OS. So that's two. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. Sorry, I'm counting the pictures. 27, 28, and 29.
Nice.
And they're hiring.
Glad to see them successful.
Yeah. And they're hiring. So if you're interested, you could be a senior UX researcher, or they're looking for a Node.js developer who lives in Canada. Or a customer service manager who apparently can live anywhere from GMT minus 10 to GMT plus 2.
Cool.
I was not looking at their jobs page. They announced it on their live stream.
Interesting.
You're wondering how I know that. No, they. I do watch the live streams when they have a new version, because sometimes their demo explains a lot more to me than the written explanation.
Sure, makes sense.
Yeah, so I enjoy it. So I recommend that again if you have 2 hours to kill, or you can keep it on in the background while you're doing something else, which is what I usually do. So that brings us to the end of another episode, and I'm going to go figure out how to pack up all of my technology, like my travel router, my TV streaming device, my second monitor.
I don't
skimp when I go on trips. I have like the full, you know, the full setup.
Nice. I just bring a laptop.
Oh, I bring that too. What do you think the second monitor plugs into? No, I'm not.
All right, man. Well, you be safe out there.
Yeah, I'm not saying I take all of that when I'm going away for 2 days. I'm talking about when I'm going away for an extended period. I bring the extra stuff. The only negative is I have to fly on Lufthansa.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I did not find the purchase experience to be pleasant. You know they charge for advanced seating and premium economy?
Yep. I know a lot of people do.
Who else charges for advanced seating and premium economy? I know people charge for advanced seating and economy. I've already paid to get a better seat. Why do I have to pay to know where that seat is?
Delta does.
In premium economy?
I think so.
Really?
Yep, Comfort Plus or whatever they call it.
They charge. No, I know they charge you to be in that cabin. I'm saying they charge you.
No, to pick the seat.
Really? I still
think. No, who was it? We were. No, it wasn't Delta. Who was it that?
I don't think
Delta. I just booked a flight and they wanted to. Yeah.
No, that just bothers me because I am paying for a better seat, and then it's why don't you pay again? That's where it feels punitive. When it's the economy cabin, you know, that's most airlines will say that, you know, you might have to pay to pick a specific preferred seat within the economy cabin. But when you've paid several hundred extra to be in the premium economy cabin, it just seems like a money grab to ask for a seat fee.
Because you know, one of these days I'm going to be rich enough that I can buy a first-class ticket across the Atlantic.
Can I ask you to clarify that? Is it that that is a dream of yours, or you're actually predicting that in the near future you're going to be a rich person?
I didn't say near.
Okay. But are you predicting, is this a dream of yours, or is this a prediction?
It's a prediction.
Okay. I at that time, can I come along? You can pick up
my Probably phone. Not, because I'll probably... Have you seen some of the Dubai first class?
Well, not personally, but the suites and the one with the butler.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I've seen like little videos of those things. It's when you're paying that much money, you should get a butler and like a suite. But it's just shocking to see when most of us are happy to get 31 inches of space.
Yep.
Anyway. We'll see what happens. But wish me luck.
Good luck, man.
Okay. And that is the end of episode number 665.